Lord lift you up.
Brother Jerry, sometimes I get in a hurry too, but put a warning on you. The police in Headland, Alabama are very efficient. Be forewarned. I've certainly enjoyed being here today. I've looked forward to it ever since I heard it was going to be here to come. I'm always thankful to be able to enjoy the fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially those that I love and enjoy being around so much. Y'all always make Mary Jo and me feel at home, and we're thankful for that. And hope and pray that the time that I spend before you this afternoon will be profitable to you and edifying us and praising our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
I don't know that I could put it any other way but that. Grateful for that opportunity. I don't know about you guys, but usually after a big lunch like I've just had, especially with a lot of sweets, it's kind of hard to stay awake, so I'll try to stay awake if y'all will.
Okay.
I want to go to Psalm 89, and everything that I've heard this morning and everything that I believe in what our Heavenly Father has given us to know and understand, that His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, can be found in the Old Testament just the same as it can be found in the New Testament. And in this psalm, I won't read the whole psalm, but I want to read a good portion of it. I found out that you can't ever preach it all out. It's something there fresh new every time. And so I'm not going to try to apologize if I preached on this before you heard some of it, but I will try to do what the Lord had me to do and say. David, praying for the church, I believe, praying that this is his prayer, and that God, and then God giving him words, he shifts from what he's saying to what God said through him, and God spoke as in the first person God. For later, but he says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Now that, to me, kind of includes what's been preached about this morning, from Adam and Eve to current until the last one that Jesus died to save. That takes in every generation, none left out in between. He says, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. His swear was, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. Pause and think curiously and wonderfully and hesitating upon what he just said. I want to read those last two or three verses again. Verse 3 says, I have made a covenant with my chosen, and it's an everlasting covenant. It will never change. It never does change. So I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Now, if you look at that, thy seed, one seed, and for who it was for all generations, says, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy thrones for all generations. The same one that saves us, saved Adam and Eve, saved right on up through, none left out that was not saved by Jesus Christ. And he says, the heavens shall praise the wonders of the Lord, of thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also to the congregation of the saints. I'm a child of God, being a saint. We don't have to be made saints by some order of some sort. God makes his children saints. And I'm thankful that in such way. It says, for who in heaven shall can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Those are questions. And it says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are above him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. We've seen God's handiwork in our lifetime, and the younger ones will see it in their lifetime if they haven't seen it yet. So I wondered, we just heard the announcement of this baby being born. That's a wonder. That is a wonder that God blesses his children with. He stays the hand of the storms. He calms the seas. Evidence of that we see within our own lifetime. I've seen storms of life, not necessarily the storms of the natural nature, but the storms carry us down from the spiritual and from the emotional side of life, the physical sides of life. Those God stays the hand of. God stays the hand of Satan. God stays the hand of our enemy wherever he may try to prevail. Says, O Lord, O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to the faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest at the raging of the seas, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. You know, that Rahab and all those that were such a evil standing before the children of God, they were broken. God does those things, and it looks like sometimes we're the weakest and we're not going to make it. Yet through the scripture says, the song says, and there's other scriptures to back that up, when you're weak, I am strong.
Right.
That's the blessing right. That we have. He says, verse 11 says, the heavens are thine, and the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. I think we've heard plenty of that today. Who's in charge, who's created, and what the creation is. God is not a creation, he is a creator. And I thank God that he gives us the blessings that we have. Now, I want to sidetrack just a moment or two. So many churches are having problems, even within our own denomination, problems that come up. Some with the modern day interpretations of the Bible that allows anything to go on in a church. We have friends, several friends in one denomination back in Taylor County, and it's a worldwide denomination, that they had a recent question come up about in that denomination as to whether they were not going, whether they were going to let the the male, female, female genders stand in the pulpits. And it was a worrisome thing. It's a worrisome thing when anybody that claims to be a child of God and to represent a congregation of God's children, God's believers, to let something like that be even a question to be brought up in the church, let alone the possibility of it prevailing. But our friends, we prayed for them, and we try to pray for not only for the Primitive Baptist and for our individual churches and our individual homes, but through all denominations where God's word is taught and preached, they will stand by the word of God. But they were fearful of what may take place, and the question was voted down worldwide. And I have one of my friends emailed me and told me, he says, praise God that it didn't pass. But we can thank our African brothers and sisters, for that being the case, for if it wasn't Africa that voted against it, it would have passed.
Oh.
You'd never think, I wouldn't have thought, that would be the one to stand to hold that at the time being. But he said, please don't stop praying, because it's going to be a continuous thing. And that I mentioned that because that's close to home. That the main church is one block from our house. And the question they came up and faced with was, they had, some of them had, this one friend in particular, his family founded the church that he's a member of up in Shady Grove, Florida. And they were considering, well, we just vote to have our own church and let them have it. But that denomination owns the church and the property it sits on.
Oh, my.
So there are many things that pull them in that direction. I'm thankful that we don't have that issue to deal with, and I pray that we never will even have that as a question in anything. But the Lord God, as this scripture talks about, that here that He is a God of the heavens, He's a God of the earth, He created them all and everything within, and He didn't need the help of any man to do that. Verse 11 again. It says, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, as for the world and for the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south hast thou created. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the inhabitants of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Now, we've heard the word justice and judgment this morning.
Yeah.
He is the justice and He is the judgment. He is the one that stands on the habitation. He is the one that rules His habitation. He rules us. He judges us by our thoughts, by our actions, and by omissions and commissions of our sin. But thank God that He has judged us, found us guilty, and He has provided the ultimate sacrifice necessary for us to have eternal salvation and have the kingdom of heaven that we can enjoy while on this earth, and look forward to the everlasting heaven in heaven that God has provided for us. Because He is a justice, and He has performed justice through His Son's death and His blood shed that we could have that eternal life. He said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. You know, we have the joy and the light. He is the light of the world. We have that. We can have the blessings of that because He is the one that illuminates our way, our pathway, as we walk along in our light. He says, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, the light of His countenance, not my countenance, but in the light of His. If the Lord is speaking to you this afternoon, as He did no doubt this morning, it is His countenance that lights you, not mine, but what God has said. I may be a distractor to you, but God, if there is an illumination in your heart, it's from God and not from me nor any other man. He says, in thy name shall they rejoice in all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. In His righteousness we are exalted, not our righteousness, but His righteousness, right. We have the exaltation that Amen. He is. He says, for thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Now, I was speaking on this some time back, this same phrase, and I was talking about having to go to the skin doctor. I've got evidence of this one, but he told me, I was speaking of the word that about the horn of Jesse, and using that the root of Jesse, and referring to various plant origin, what can be germinated out of a plant to make it grow, grafting or whatever. Sometimes it's referred to as a horn, and as I said that, I had some other. This was back. I had some things on my face, and I told. I told the congregation before I even thought about it that my dermatologist said I was growing horns. So, I wanted to take that back. But that's about the way I am without the blood of Jesus on me. I still have some horns that kind of sprout sometimes. He said, but verse 18, for it says, for the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. The Holy One of Israel is our King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know, if man was trying to lay this out and trying to set this out within himself, I don't believe that he could have done, I know he couldn't have done what God did through David. And David, being obedient to God, wrote down and transcribed and sometimes put in his words what God had given him to say, but it was still God's word that he spoke of. It came, it couldn't have been any closer and made it any clearer to me that he's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and laying out the plan of salvation for us, that we would know and understand what God's plan was, not my plan for salvation, what God's plan for salvation was, and who he is, what he is, and that he was sent to establish a church through his son Jesus Christ, being the head of it, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says, Then thou spakest, David saying that God spoke to him in a vision, says, then thou spakest in a vision to thy Holy One, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. He didn't say he anointed Jesus Christ. He had given him the words to say, and he gave it on his understanding of what God was saying to him to speak about the chosen instrument that God had appointed that would come in the day appointed for him to be, for Jesus to be on this earth. Verse 20, he says, this is what God is saying. He says, I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil. I have anointed him. His holy oil, his holy one, his word, God anointed him with the holy oil that he anoints one of his to speak, God's children to speak his word according to the way he would have it spoken. He said, I have found David, my servant. He has found Tommy, his servant, or whoever, Brother Paul, or whatever, whoever it may be, if he's a servant of God, and he has found him, he knew where he was to begin with, but he found him and put oil on him and anointed him to speak the words that he had to say. He's with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. I'm glad that I don't have to stand on my own strength, because if I did, I might be asleep somewhere, and you would be wondering why I don't snore. Well, my snoring stuff's been taken out. Says, the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of the wickedness afflict him. We have a protection about us. God allows a hedge of protection. He had a hedge of protection around Job. He let it come up, and he gave Satan the opportunity to come in and try to do his work on him. Yeah. He says, he's my servant. But he had a hedge where he couldn't go, so he could only go so far.
That's right.
God will only allow Satan to come so far into a person, one of his children's life. Sometimes it's to bring him to a point of obedience. And, I've had that a lot of time. I've been brought to a point of obedience, and still I rebel. I'm still rebellious. He says, and I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Our Savior would be exalted. The seed of David, he talked about earlier on, the seed of David would be exalted to become the one in the future, the head of the church, the Savior of his children, and to be the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice necessary. And I like to say this because it's true, and I like to say it because God has given us the blessings of having the ultimate sacrifice, being Jesus Christ, being the one. He was the only one without sin. He was the only pure sacrifice, the only Lamb of God, worthy of being sacrificed.
and he was the receiver of the sacrifice, because he was a high priest, and he was the giver of the sacrifice because he was high priest, and he also received it because he was God. He was God. He received his, he gave it, he blessed it, he received his life, he said he received his own sacrifice, and he gave it to the Father, a chaste, pure church that he has. We are people within the church. We are humans, and we still have sin in this old flesh until our rebellion is beaten down, torn down, until we stand pure before our Heavenly Father. That's what our Savior has done for us through his ultimate sacrifice. He said, "But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, at the right hand in him the rivers. He shall cry unto them, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." I love that part, the rock of my salvation. He says, "I also will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth." And I want to just kind of sidetrack just a little bit in closing before I read this next verse. Many of you in here have military experience. I've spent some time in the military. Know what I'm fixing to say. The others that may not, I'll just be brief in explaining what I'm fixing to say. But there was one command that we had our training instructors, whoever you, drill sergeants, DIs, whatever you want to call them, TIs. They taught us how to drill, how to march, how to take commands. And one thing they always told us is you go by my command unless somebody else comes up, and if they tell you something to do, you ignore them. But if they say by my command, you do so and so. Well, once in a while, somebody would walk up and they'd try us, and sure enough, somebody within there would move when they were supposed to, and they were called things unfit to be repeated for doing that. Fortunately, I didn't do that mistake, but there were some that did. But that was a command that said that we were to, when we were in a row of four people, or four columns of people. In the Air Force, if we were single file going into a building, we went in one row after another, and we would have a command that said there's something like columns to the file right, column right, march, column left, or whichever may be. Then the other three rows or columns would say stand fast. Well, that was to keep you still, because when he said march, well, then you normally marched on that command, and the one in this row would go, or whichever, and then the other would follow in behind them. But that word stand fast meant that the others were not supposed to move. And when the Lord gives a command, it's by his voice that we're to follow. We're not to obey anybody else. I've been told several times during my lifetime that God told me to tell you this, and I learned quickly to say, well, when God tells me, then I'll agree with you. But when the Lord tells me, and then he hadn't told me, but he's told you, he don't work, my God don't work that way. Your God don't work that way. If he don't tell you, he may tell you through somebody. But if the Lord don't confirm it some way, you might order a question what it is. But the second part of this, and the last part of this verse, I want to read, says, "My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him." You know, we're many places in the Bible where it says that we're to stand fast or to hold fast to the things that we have been taught, the blessings that we have. We're to hold on to that, hold on to it as anchor. Sometimes it looks like we're just about ready to sink, or it looks like the tide's going to carry us away. But we're to hold fast to that anchor, hang on to the hope that we have been given. Hang on to what God's Word says, and don't let it go when our churches look like they're going to fold up, or our things are going to go amiss. And that sometimes it's necessary for a church to close, and it has fulfilled God's purpose, about the promises that He's given, to hang on, hang fast, hang on a little longer, and stay the course that God's given us. Will we stand fast in His Word, keeping His promises in our hearts and doing His will in our lives, we have the joy of what God's given us. And may God bless y'all, and y'all continue to pray for these other two elders.